May we be helped to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 1034. Hymn 1034 to June Carey's 314. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee. Absent from thee I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me. I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. Jesus is still the sinner's friend, although the billows roll between. And since his love is to the end, ere long he'll change this gloomy scene. Hymn 1034, June Carey's 314.
Amen. help us, dear friends, to read together from the Holy Word of God. We turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians. We read chapter 1 and a few verses in chapter 3. Chapter 1, the Epistle to the Ephesians, and a part of chapter 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that he should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We turn now to chapter 3 and go to verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that she might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to own and bless those sacred truths that we have read now. And may the Lord help us to pray. Most holy and eternal God, thou, O Lord, who art the God and Father of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, thou who art the God of all mercies and the God of all truth, we do pray that thou wilt help us now by thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, as we have come into thine earthly courts for the purpose of worship. O do grant to us the divine power and dew and unction of thy Holy Spirit in our souls and upon our spirit, that we may be graciously helped in making our request known, Lord, to thee. We realize, Lord, that we are so poor, so needy, so completely dependent upon thee. But Lord, we have read that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Oh, we plead thine own word, Lord, now, this evening hour, that thou wilt thus help us in this particular and grant us this divine blessing. Oh, Lord, may we be spiritually minded. May we know the love of Christ constraining us this night. And may we know the divine leading and teaching of thy Holy Spirit. And may we be drawn by the cords of divine love, the love of God to sinners. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for the gospel. The gospel of our salvation. Oh Lord, may these sacred truths be applied with divine power and efficacy upon our spirit, that we may not only believe them, but feel the virtue of them upon our soul, upon our spirit, and within our person. For if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Oh, may we be those new creatures in Christ Jesus. May those old things be passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, Lord, we thank thee for gathering us together here in thy house at Maidstone on this Tuesday evening, the day and time appointed for the week evening service. Oh, we do pray that the service, yea, the services of the sanctuary may prove to be means of grace and blessing and comfort and consolation and good hope for us, so that we might be strengthened in the faith, upheld in spirit, encouraged, Lord, by thy word, and being able to persevere, to press on, looking alone to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of all true faith. And so, Lord, do be mindful of us. Oh, do not pass us by. But oh, could it please thee, Lord, to turn in hither with us this night, as thou didst when those two on the Emmaus road, Lord, thou didst make as though thou wouldest have gone further, but they constrained thee, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And Lord, thou didst go in with them. and thou didst make thyself known to them in the breaking of the bread of life. Oh, make thyself known, Lord, to us this night, we pray thee, so that it may prove to be a favoured, sacred season to be remembered, and that thy word may have an abiding place in our heart, and that we might go in the strength of thy word many days. Lord, we need thee. Our pathway is such that without thee, Lord, we can do nothing. We need thee, Lord, as a God of providence. We need thee as a God of grace. We need thee at all times and all seasons. And Lord, we need thee especially in the ministry of thy word. Oh, do grant to us this night that God-given ability, that ministerial grace, that we might speak to the honour and glory of thy great and holy name, and for the good and the benefit of the exercised hearers and of our never-dying souls. To this end, Lord, we pray for thy one church and all the little hills of Zion up and down this, our land, within the body of churches to which we are affiliated and joined. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember thy dear people, those gathered together this night, and whatever night may be their service night, to be with the assemblies of thy saints and thy ministers as they serve thee, as servants of the living God upon the walls of Zion, continually desiring to publish peace, to preach the gospel, and to come where thy dear people are. And so, Lord, do bless the ordained means of the preaching of the gospel, and may it accomplish that which is pleasing, Lord, to thee. Oh, we pray for the ministering, thy ministers that come and preach here in this chapel, together with our dear friend in membership here, in his ministry here, and in his ministry amongst the churches. Lord, be his strength, be his stay, be his interpreter, be his all. For Lord, the work is great. Indeed it is. And we're not equal, Lord, to it in and of ourselves. But we thank thee that thou hast laid help upon one who is mighty, even King Jesus, who reigns on Zion's hill. And Lord, thou doth help, thou doth lead and teach and instruct, and give that ability to set thy word forth amongst the assemblies of thy saints. And Lord, do be with our dear brother in office as deacon, who has the greater responsibility of the cause here in the management of it on a daily basis. Lord, be with him in this office, and be with him in the Bethesda responsibilities as well. Those heavy, weights and responsibility that rest upon his shoulders and those of his colleagues and brethren on the committee. Oh Lord, give wisdom, give understanding, give grace in the responsibility that has been committed unto their charge. And help us each, Lord, to serve thee in our day and generation, in whatever way or capacity that may be. May we be like that dear godly woman of old whom thou didst say concerning she hath done what she could. Oh, do help us then, Lord, to serve thee in our day and generation, and remember thy cause and interest here, all those gathered here this evening, and those here on the Lord's Day, with their little ones, the families. O Lord, do bless them indeed, we pray thee, so that there may prove to be that following generation raised up to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And although, Lord, there may not be so many numerically, yet the generations are still represented here. And how important, Lord, this is. And to this end we pray that thou wilt bless them with those spiritual blessings which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We do pray for the afflicted, the infirmed, the bereaved, the burdened, the cast down, the weary. O Lord, thou knowest the way that thy people take. Thou didst know the way that Job took, and thou dost know, Lord, the way that we take, and all thy dear people. And we do humbly beseech of thee, O Lord, that thou wouldest suit thy mercies, grace and goodness unto them each, so that each one may realize and know the Lord is mindful of them, and that when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Be with us, Lord, in the narrow way that alone leadeth to eternal day, to eternal life, to eternal glory. Oh, do help us to press on, to continue looking alone to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our all and in all. Do remember, Lord, our nation. Oh, what a state and condition we are in, and the nations of the earth. Lord, we wonder sometimes where the scene will end. But Lord, we trust alone in thee. And that word that we endeavoured to speak on the past Lord's Day, the Lord reigneth. O Lord, thou dost reign, and not man. O do put forth, Lord, thine almighty power, and thine outstretched arm, thou King of kings and Lord of lords, and vindicate the cause of the just, and overthrow the devices of the unjust, and the ungodly, and cruel, and unreasonable man. For all men have not faith that God is faithful. We pray for those in the Ukraine. We pray for those in the Turkey and Syria. Those great earthquakes and the destruction brought. Oh Lord, do remember those that have been spared. And yet those who have lost dear ones, and the desolation that they are in, undoubtedly through such great destruction. Oh, how in a moment, Lord, the scene can change. An earthquake is sent, and buildings will just collapse. And Lord, thy word declares that in the last days earthquakes will come in divers places. Thy word, Lord, is being fulfilled. We are living in the last days. Oh Lord, we await thy second coming. Oh, be gracious to us each. May we be prepared for the hour and article of death. And if we are spared until the second advent, then to meet the Lord in the air. Oh Lord, do that. Be with us each as we journey on. And prepare us for eternity. And now, Lord, do bless the singing of the sacred hymns. Help me to speak in thy great and holy name. Do hear us, O Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, do mercifully forgive and pardon every sin. We would glorify and praise the name and person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God bless it forevermore. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn number 746. Hymn 746 to the tune Zundel 664. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving. To the end, trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746, tune Zundel 664.
Friends, by the help of God, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention from words to be found in the first chapter, the Epistle to the Ephesians, and we read verses 3 and 4 by way of text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. When you consider what the Ephesians were as Gentiles in their fallen state and condition as poor, wretched, guilty, needy, ignorant sinners in nature's darkness. There, the truths that are set before us in this epistle are so magnified in our understanding of the grace, of the goodness, of the love, of the faithfulness of God. And when Paul wrote this epistle to them, he was not present with them. He had been with them at an earlier day and an earlier time, but he was not with them now. He was a prisoner in Rome, and he had been sent there because he desired to go before Caesar for his case to be heard and vindicated, and not at Jerusalem, where he was falsely accused. So, Paul was not with them in person, but he was with them in spirit. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We may not always be enabled to present our bodies in the house of God and be in the house of God for lawful reasons or afflictive dispensations. Nevertheless, we can, by the power of the Spirit, be there in spirit. And Paul was many, many, many miles away in Rome from Ephesus, but he was with them in spirit. Oh, the wonder, friends, of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. It matters not where you are on the face of the earth. The Lord can make you nigh. And that union and oneness with the Lord's people as they meet together. So he wrote out of the very depths of his soul. And this was occasioned by the fact that he was all that way away. And yet, although a prisoner, he had a chain, yet man can never, ever bind the spirit of a child of God. Never. If the Spirit has made you free, yea, as the Apostle said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Apostle Paul had the Spirit with him. He had liberty. He was in no bondage in spirit. His spirit was free. And that's how he could write as he did to the church at Ephesus. And friends, sometimes the Lord's people are brought into difficult places and straits and circumstances that are hard to be understood. And yet, their spirit is free. Have you never proved it, friends? Have you never proved it? I hope I have. And sometimes the Lord's servants, they may be in heavy trial, and Satan may say, well, shut your mouth now. And yet, we prove that wonderful liberty of the Spirit in ministering the word. Because God has decreed that his word shall be preached. And so we have this wonderful, blessed epistle. A letter or an epistle. It's not a book. It's an epistle. It's a letter written. There's a great difference, friends, between a book and an epistle. I heard a minister say once, let us turn to the book of the Philippians. Well, friends, it's not a book. It's an epistle. It's the book of Job, yes. It's the book of Psalms, yes. But these are epistles. And they are rich, full of Christ. Oh, friends, ponder then the apostle, right and is divinely inspired, that those he loves in the Lord, and yet separated from them by many, many miles. Well, dear friends, after the greeting and the salutation to the saints at Ephesus, and not just to them, but to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, friends, I hope that includes us. All the dear brethren and sisters in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need grace. We need peace. And it's from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father. You see, he could say that. And I hope we can say it, because he speaks in verse 5 of the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to be adopted into the family of God. God is our Father. We are his children. You see, we were alienated from God in our fallen state. But God, by his love, chose us, he foreknew us, and then he predestinates us. And then he calls us by his grace. This is the way the Lord works, because according as he hath chosen us, he foreknew us, he chose us. When? Before the foundation of the world. He foreknew his dear people. He chose them. And then he predestinated us unto the adoption of children, because he knew us and he loved us with an everlasting love. Now Paul, writing to the Romans, takes this same sacred, glorious doctrine up. He says this: for whom he did foreknow, the foreknowledge of God before time, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. If you've been called by grace, dear friends, and I hope we can all humbly claim that we have, we have a divine warrant to say we have, then we were predestinated, because we were chosen. God chose us by his electing love and mercy. He foreknew us. What a wonderful truth it is, isn't it? God knew us before we were born. God knew us before the foundation of the world. Do you believe it, friends? We do believe it. It's the Word of God. And we see, step by step, the divine order of things as they work according to the counsel of his own will. Everything was done in counsel by Jehovah, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, before time began. Oh, friends, do you hope and trust the Lord has chosen you? This is the doctrine of election. Why did he choose you? You might look at yourself and me, a poor, needy sinner. Yet the Lord chose me. Why? Who made me to differ, and what have I received? What have I been favoured with? It's all the Lord's goodness. Well, friends, we know
the secret, and I use that word deliberately, the blessed secret, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now this is why the Lord chose his dear elect people. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now this is a secret, friends. The Lord loved you. He set his love upon you. A special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. This is the divine secret God gave to Moses. And Moses wrote as divinely inspired. And we have the sacred testimony. And this is the foundation stone of the eternal love of God, the electing love of God. It's beyond human nature, it's beyond human reason. But friends, it's set before us in the sacred word of God. So, to be a special people. The Lord's people are special. They are, friends. They're different to the ungodly. And this world, you know, continues not because of the masses of creation and in all their sin and iniquity and transgression. This world continues, friends, because of this special people. That's why. That's why it continues. Because his work, his foreknowledge, his electing love, his predestination, his calling is to be made manifest with every elect one that he's chosen before time began. And how do you know? Well, because they're made manifest in time. That's how you know. How do we know that Solomon was a child of God? Because of the testimony of God when he was born. That's how we know. And what was the testimony of God when he was born? It was this. The Lord loved him. The Lord loved him. Friends, there's the elect in the eternal love of God. And the Apostle Paul said concerning himself that the Lord Jesus gave, loved me, and gave himself for me. That's Paul's testimony. Now what's your testimony, friends? What's your testimony? What can you bring forth in your heart that the Lord has implanted there and sealed there regarding your standing in Christ? Well, these are spiritual blessings that the apostle is speaking of. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the fullness of time, Christ came, and Paul, writing to the Galatians, speaks of this. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. We were all under the law, friends. We were all under the law. The Lord Jesus was. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus Christ was under the law. He was subject to it in his sacred humanity here below. He was indeed. He wasn't above the law. He was subject to it. And so are we. The law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. We're not above the law. But, you see, Christ redeemed them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that word Abba means my Father. And Jesus Christ, in his sufferings in Gethsemane, uttered these words, Abba, Father. Not my will be done, but not my will, but thine be done. Abba, Father. My Father. Well, dear friends, you see, as our text says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord used that word in his sufferings just prior to his crucifixion in the garden. Abba, Father. And it's the same word used by the apostle for the church of God. You have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, naturally speaking, on a human level, what is very beautiful? A family. The bride and groom marry. And then, subject to the will of God, children are born. And those dear children have a father, and they have a mother. And the parents can lay claim to them as their children. It's a wonderful blessing. Now, the elect of God, chosen by God, born into this world as sinners, due to our federal head Adam, we all fell in Adam, we were alienated from God. But you see, he's made us nigh by his precious blood, and he's brought us into the family of God. He's adopted us. He's given to us a new spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And that childlike humility and love, and taken us and placed us in his family. We have all the benefits of being a child. Naturally speaking, the parents lay up for the children. And on their decease, the children take their inheritance. Friends, the children of God are adopted into the family of God, and they have all the benefits and the blessings conferred upon the family, the children. And you see that sacred inheritance that is laid up for them in heaven through the death of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be adopted into the family of God. There ye are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, to be part of that family. Now we're all part of a family. We're not vagabonds, as the word of God speaks concerning Cain. We are part of a family, naturally speaking. And God's ordained it. But friends of the spiritual family, the people of God, and are loved by God. And he's their Father, and we are his children. And the Lord Jesus taught that prayer, Our Father. If you've been adopted into the family of God, you have a rightful claim to call God your Father. He claims you as your children. And you claim him as your Father. Naturally speaking, a child has an absolute right to claim his father, their father, to be their father, because he is. And the father has a rightful claim on his children, because they are his. And spiritually considered, friends, oh, the wonder of being adopted into the family of God. Well, spiritual blessings, friends, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. As I looked at this, heavenly places, I pondered this, but then the margin says, places or things, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things, in heavenly matters. It's all in Christ. Because you see, in the dispensations and the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So these spiritual blessings, God has blessed his people with, the church at Ephesus. And friends, being heathen before their call, what things did they engage in? All manner of sinful licentiousness. The Apostle Paul said, This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that shows to us very, very clearly the state of the Gentile in his fallen state. Vanity of their mind they're walking in, their understanding is darkened, they're alienated from the life of God, they're in ignorance, they're in blindness, and they've given themselves over to sin and uncleanness with greediness. That's the state of a Gentile by nature. And yet, these same characters have been called by grace. Well did the apostle say, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, who else could constitute that wonderful change? Who else could call them by grace? Who else could bring them from nature darkness into God's marvellous light? Who else could call them from death to life? In him was life, that's Jesus Christ, and the life was the light of men. These are the spiritual blessings, friends, that God has given to his dear people at Ephesus, and indeed to all the faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, spiritual blessings. Now we bless God for temporal blessings and providential blessings. We acknowledge these, we gratitude, indeed we do. We have food and raiment, we have homes to live in, we have dear ones to live with, we have so many, many blessings and benefits, and we are exhorted not to forget these benefits, naturally speaking. But friends, our text speaks of something greater than that. It speaks of spiritual blessings. Because there are many people in this earth who have providential blessings, but they know nothing of spiritual blessings. These are in Christ, and they flow from Him. Oh, indeed they do. Oh, friends, spiritual blessings. Well, it's the divine operation of the Spirit of God in our souls that brings these blessings. Chapter 2 said, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin," dead, "walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," well, that's Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Oh, he goes on to speak of their fallen state. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Oh, this love we've spoken of in Deuteronomy. And friends, you see, oh, let us ever remember that. Because he loved us. Oh, friends, you can't. That seems to my understanding to be the height, the depth, the length and the breadth of divine blessing the Lord chose us because he loved us. Now remember this. He loved us first. The apostle says in another place, we love him. We love the Lord. Why? Because he first loved us. That's the secret again, isn't it? He loved us before time. And then when the Lord opened our eyes and unstopped our ears, then we were called by grace. But you see, it proves this, dear friends, that we are elect, and it proves that we've been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. That's what it proves to us. If you've been called, you're an elect vessel of mercy. You've been predestinated. And then you've been called. Here's the open manifestation in time. Because the work of God is always made manifest in time. It must be. This is the purpose of time. It's for God's purposes to be made manifest in the lives of all who are loved and predestinated by God. So called. This divine calling. Now, the apostle writing to the church at Thessalonica tells us how this wonderful blessing of, or spiritual blessing of election is known experimentally. And this is what he says. "Knowing, brethren beloved," well, a lovely way to address the people of God, isn't it? "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." So you know it. So how did they know it? That's the question, isn't it? Well, the answer is before us. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So, the gospel, it comes in word. Yes, firstly. Indeed it does. But not in word only. We need more than that. We need the power the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And that proves that one is an elect vessel of mercy. Really, it's this. Has the gospel been effectual and efficacious in your heart and life? It's one thing to hear the gospel, and that's good. But friends, we need more than that. We need the power. We need the Holy Ghost to apply the word. And then that sweet and blessed assurance. Then you can say, you know your election of God. So, dear friends, these are the spiritual blessings that the apostle blessed with all spiritual blessings. Well, how wonderful it is to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to Christ. To possess the Spirit of Christ. Because, you see, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. So, you see, these wonderful spiritual blessings, they conform us to Jesus Christ. Well, this divine calling to be called by free and sovereign grace. And if we've been called, then in due season we should be justified. We should be justified. What a spiritual blessing. Oh, friends, may we under the teaching of the Spirit have a gracious understanding of the wonder of these spiritual blessings. Well, did the dear man of God Solomon say, writing in the Proverbs, that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow thereto. Oh, these spiritual blessings, the justifying righteousness of Christ. Oh, to be delivered from the condemning sentence of the law. And to know the peace of God in your soul that passeth all understanding. Oh, this is what it is to be justified. To be completely delivered from every condemning voice from Sinai. Every voice is silenced. Every voice is stopped. Every voice that was raised against you is silenced. Jesus stood in your room, place, and stead. And he was delivered to death for our sins and offences. He was delivered, friends, to death for the sins of his people. And then on the third day, he rose triumphant from the grave. What for? To justify his church. To deliver them from the law. Well, friends, what spiritual blessings. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Oh, friend, to be chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, we read in Genesis concerning the wonders of God's creation. But friends, think of the wonder of that choice. Long before creation's work, in eternity past, before you had a being, but God knew you, God knew us. These are sacred considerations. Poor finite man cannot comprehend these truths, but by faith, friends, we believe them. This is what faith does. It enables you to believe what naturally you cannot comprehend. Yet faith believes it. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God, friends, without faith. So we need faith. God given. God wrought in the soul. And it enables you to believe all what God has written. That's what faith does. It embraces everything that the Lord has said. And it receives it and it believes it. Totally, completely and absolutely. And no one on the earth, sin or Satan, will never, ever influence you in any other way. You're sure and steadfast. It's the testimony of truth. You receive it as if you were at Ephesus yourself, as if you were there when Paul wrote this epistle. You believe it as if you were there. You bear the witness of it in your soul and spirit. This is the wonder, you see, of truth and of faith receiving it. Now, faith does something else. It rejects error. It rejects the lies of Satan. Yeah, it casts them aside. Get behind me, Satan. What did the Lord say to Satan in the wilderness? It is written. It is written. It is written. Satan was defeated. And he left the Lord for a season. Faith receives the truth and rejects Satan's lies. Oh, these spiritual blessings. All in Christ Jesus. Well, flowing, you see that all in Christ. Every doctrine that we hold dear, where is it found? Where does it flow from? It flows from Christ. And the spiritual blessings, as I see the time is fast hastening on, but just to bear with me for a moment while I just speak and bring before you the precious fruits of the Spirit. What spiritual blessings these are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So these are the spiritual blessings, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, dear friends, what sacred truths we have. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 10. Hymn number 10 to the tune A bends 275. 'Twas with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced, before he made the worlds above or earth on her huge columns placed, long ere the sun's refulgent ray primeval shades of darkness drove, they on his sacred bosom lay, loved with an everlasting love. Hymn at number 10, tune A bends 275.
Thank you.
O Lord, we would thank Thee for this season together in Thy house, for Thy precious word, and then, Lord, the hymn that we have sung, so fitted to the subject. O Lord, we thank Thee for these blessings and confirmations granted to us. Now, Lord, do take us each to our homes in peace and in safety. And may Thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, and the sacred communion of Thy Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen and amen.